This is Conor Lennon from UN News. Making sure that information about COVID-19 is accurate is a crucial part of getting the pandemic under control. UNESCO, the UN agency responsible for science and education, has a key role in combating the widespread disinformation that's spreading around the world and promoting the facts. I spoke to Moez Shakshuk, Assistant Director General of UNESCO, and I started by asking him how to describe the scale of the so-called disinfodemic.
We identified that misinformation and disinformation was a major challenge, in addition, of course, to other challenges, as you mentioned, education and science. And we started working on those issues. Of course, we have been very active with different stakeholders and different partners to tackle disinformation for years. And we try to highlight this specific issue and the specific with related to the coronavirus crisis. So we started by trying to liaise with the WHO and to highlight that the importance of fighting disinformation as a major issue related to the coronavirus crisis. And we planned some activities. I can maybe highlight one of them, which is related to media and information literacy. So how to raise awareness among young people about to think before sharing or think before clicking on in social networks.
As you say, this has been an issue well before the COVID pandemic, the issue of disinformation, some people call fake news. Are you surprised, or did you expect the level of disinformation that we've seen, particularly online?
We were not surprised. I think the disinformation was really high. The rate of disinformation in social media was really high, but it was linked principally to political issues, like say election time or during campaigns. And we started in UNESCO highlighting the links between disinformation and some political issues. And during the crisis, we were not surprised to see that misinformation and disinformation will be a big issue, a global issue. So we tried to get in touch with our field colleagues, and we also wanted to be as effective as possible in the ground, if not just in the principles or statements and so on.
But when speaking to your colleague, Guy Berger, who's in charge of media literacy at UNESCO, the scale of the problem does seem to be pretty huge. Are you confident that you can do enough at UNESCO to make sure that that accurate information gets out?
Yeah, of course. Journalism and journalists can play an important role to really disseminate the right information. This is exactly what we wanted to highlight in our major activities. One of them is to prepare, for example, a MOOC, a massive online course, that is instructed by journalists recognized to be expert in carrying on health coverage. And this is one of the activities that we launched, and we welcomed WHO involvement in these MOOCs. And of course, the objective is to enhance the journalist's capacity in fact-checking the information, reporting the facts without generating panic or fighting disinformation, and also acquiring skills to keep them safe while working with this very complex matter.
So well, as journalists, what about the rest of the population, though? If you're just a regular person, you're looking at Twitter, you're looking at other social media platforms, and you're seeing information that might alarm you, what would you recommend that people do?
We prepared empowering people with media and information skills, for example, promoting verified journalistic content and engaging quality media organization. So as I mentioned before, critical thinking is important for social media interaction. And we tried with we launched a campaign with some visuals, with some messages highlighting some wrong information or fake news, as was known by many people, even if we don't like this term. But we tried to at least disseminate these messages as UNESCO messages to tackle directly through social media these kind of wrong messages. And for example, I can highlight that we use radios because not all people are connected. For example, in many developing countries, the coverage of the radio is huge, and especially community radios. And And I can highlight here the importance for Africa, for example, with community radios. And we try to prepare audio messages that we disseminate through our partners, through all these community radios. So the way that we try to do some awareness raising is very, it was essential for us to be very active, but not just in Paris, but globally through our field colleagues and also through our partners and media partners. So we organized some campaigns, for example, like the one with Don't Go Viral, and we use a lot of artists and singers who are very well known in Africa, for example, who can disseminate a lot of these messages in a different manner. Because in countries where there is a lack of health information, the lack of quality information will be fatal. So that's why we try to do it very actively with a lot of artists, and this campaign has been very successful. So for people who are not just connected, we have radios. For people also who are not maybe don't have the right skills to use social media, there are other means, let's say, they can use to be able to address this quality of information.
Now, the World Health Organization, as you said earlier, has been the key agency that's been leading in the response, the UN response to the pandemic. But science, it's in the name of your agency, and it's a key part of your mandate. Could you explain the ways in which your agency is trying to coordinate a scientific response to COVID-19?
Of course, UNESCO is in charge of sciences, one of the issues that my sector dealt with is that open access to scientific information. Of course, we deal with a lot of increased cooperation between scientists to tackle this global issue and this pandemic. And WHO has been very leading these initiatives and making a lot of efforts to be able to tackle this virus in the efficient manner. But access to information and openly licensed scientific knowledge is essential. So UNESCO advocates for that, and we try to promote in our way and within our partners to put openly licensed data, open in the open platforms, and to use it as an asset for research. And of course, for innovative solutions. So this is our messages for sciences, and also to be able to have an open license and verified publication and scientific open data.
Does that mean that there have been some log jams in terms of getting information out as freely as you would like?
Yeah, of course. We noticed that there was some barriers within the access to information, and we advocate, you know, as a part of our work and according to the SDGs, the access to information is essential, and a lot of the SDGs can be tackled through right to access to information. But at the same time, for this crisis, we urgent member states and our partners to have an urgent action towards promoting open access to scientific information, because we cannot really have a global response if we don't cooperate together, and open science is essential for our objectives.
Where are you seeing the breakthroughs? Where do you think that information is going to be pooled to the extent that you can actually change the course of the pandemic?
It's a global issue. It's a pandemic. And as it is, we need to be aware that, for example, innovative systems based on artificial intelligence cannot be efficient if we don't have access to data and open data. And that's why we believe that it's a right moment to join our efforts and to not work in silos or in a fragmented manner. I think that there is a need to have a comprehensive approach with different partners to tackle this kind of innovative solutions that can be essential for the future of humanity. And one of the issues is to how to be able to access to this data to be able to develop efficient systems on artificial intelligence while preserving, of course, ethical and human-based approach and so on.
What do you think needs to be done that isn't currently being done?
I think one of the there is a need when this crisis began. I think we had an increasing interest of cooperation, international cooperation. This is very important, even within the UN family, but beyond that. For education, I can highlight, for example, the partnership that UNESCO launched on education, and it was really a good and important opportunity to highlight how important it is that to tackle the issues related to education, as many young people and students and are not going to school anymore, and there is a lot of issues related to e-learning systems. This need of cooperation to tackle not just development goals, also to go beyond that, because we have a crisis and we need to have a global response and to join our efforts within the UN system. I think it's very, very important. So it's really this need of increased or enhanced cooperation between different stakeholders, private, global, public member states, and also international and intergovernmental organizations. I think this is very, very important and essential. We had been we were happy to see how this was really increasing, but I think that we need to continue in this space to achieve our goals.